is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
To stand in honor of the Word of God, and let us read together verses 10 through 18 of the sixth chapter of Ephesians.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful and we bless you for arranging for us to spend this time from our schedules. And as you've given us this day, we pray that your presence and blessing be upon us in that special way that we will say that it's been profitable to come today and praise our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and think about what He's done for us at the cross of Calvary, His great love for us. Yes, the agony and the anguish that He did in our behalf experience. Thank you, Lord. And taking the wrath that we deserve because we've not kept the commandments. And not only that was the proof of that you were so pleased that He died and was buried in the tomb and the third day wonderfully resurrected triumphantly over the old devil. This morning we want to expose him. We want to expose the enemy of our souls. Would you help us, Lord? Preacher, Lord, I've given what I could and study, but don't feel that I've been able to do this properly, and so I'm asking your help, Lord God. Thank you and for the people. We have many things to distract us. There's things that we can think about while we're here. We pray that there would be an anointing of the pulpit and also the chairs and the hearts of all together this morning. We're cognizant also there are those who are not well. We pray for their healing. We can see them in health. And our Father, may we understand this morning, even the scripture, that the enemy can bring about physical afflictions and economical afflictions. And so help us to understand that avenue also. And then our Father, for our work here, we do need your blessing as we have these new phone directories. And Lord, they say people use the yellow pages and the white pages. And we pray that if we can be a help, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be in the way, and being in the way, that you would use us. Use us also with the World Wide Web. Thank you for giving us that ability and for the webmaster and his help, Brother Rick. Then, our Father, we're looking forward also for this evening when Brother Rook comes and ministers the word to us from Colossians 3. This is your day, and we rejoice in it. Would you be pleased to meet with us in that special way, as I've already asked you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us and has made it possible to have access at the throne of grace and mercy. Amen. Please be seated. I want us to sing another hymn. I want us to sing the hymn, Rejoice. No. I want you to sing, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? 481. Let's have a little information first. This is so hot off the press from a Barna group. And they made a poll of, 1,013 adults. Just one sentence, one paragraph. The Barna group poll found that the supernatural world is more readily believed by teens in the midst of the Harry Potter phenomena. The Barna report revealed that 73% of Americans' youth have engaged in at least one type of psychic or witchcraft-related activity beyond media exposure or the horoscope usage. And nothing to worry about. What? 73% of them have entered into psychic and witchcraft-related things, you know, Halloween. Moreover, 30% of all teens claim they have had supernatural encounters. Now, non-evangelical teens were nearly three times more likely, that is, 69% than the evangelical teens, which was 26% that have engaged in witchcraft or psychic activities. That ought to curl your hair in case you think that, oh, well, there's nothing to worry about. Don't let it sweat you. Then, as I was studying in Ephesians, I got from a preview of the book of Ephesians, and I thought this one paragraph that from this that might be of interest to you. Satan, and I'm quoting now, Satan wants to poison your thoughts and emotions. Just like in those last hours of World War II in Europe, when all thought Hitler was going to let out the poison gas, just like Sodom factor in the Gulf War, only instead of maybe it's true, the poison is spreading. Here are some symptoms of exposure to Satan's poisonous gas attacks in two areas, having in mind in our emotions. There's nine of them, sentences. Number one, just so you see I'd studied. Satan wants to snatch the word of God from you and fill your mind with lies and immorality and false doctrine. That's what he wants of you. Two, he wants you to think that sin is not so bad. Three, He wants you to drown. He wants to drown you in a sea of sin, so that you become very tolerant of it. Everybody's doing it. He wants to entertain you with sin so that you won't think that it's evil, as sin really is. We don't even use the remote, huh? That's the way it is. He wants you to, and that's number five, he wants you to laugh at sin on television or at the movies. Laugh at sin. Sixth, he wants to twist your thinking by putting sinful ideas to appealing music. Ideas in appealing music, such as commit suicide. Yeah, it shocks them, those old gray heads, if you really knew what they were singing. Seven, he wants to confuse your emotions by corrupting your desires and drawing your affections to the wrong things. Not me. I'm an old man. Huh. He's been around longer than you, old man. He wants to draw your affections into the wrong things. Eight, he wants to destroy your conscience so it will no longer warn you. And ninth, he wants to debilitate your will and get you to do things that you really shouldn't do. I thought I'd share that with you. Now then, if we're going to try to know him, then let me give you a broad outline. I almost said, boys and girls, listen up. But I don't want to be unkind. But you know, we are to be students here. You're not here to be entertained or just to sit back and say, well, you got a sermon there. You're here to learn. This is a schoolhouse for Christ. Did you know that? Sure you did. In fact, you know, I'm going to deviate. Aren't you going to get to this? Yeah, but I got this. You know, there's a movement for local churches like our own to teach preacher boys. Well, that's not new. No, I espoused it for years. If some preacher boy wants to serve the Lord, God's called him to preach, that the home church ought to do a good job with him. At least give him a 2-year training. Now, this is important because if you're going to study things, let the church study him. And see what he does in the home. You know this idea, oh, you ought to go to school. Come on, go to school. And you don't see what he's doing. And many of these schools, I really don't trust them. Well, so what? There's some good schools, I know that. But it's good, at least 2 years you ought to spend with the church. And listen, let me give the idea. First of all, you know this, don't you, that we have a man here who'd make a beautiful dean of the school. You know, a little place. A dean of the school, that would be in charge and control the curriculum and so forth, but we can't work a good horse until you almost kill him. But I want to tell you, we do have a man like that. And he's been with us a good many years. And I never talked to him about this as such. But you better face the facts. This would, the young man wanting to be a preacher spend 2 years. And as the pastor is usually the principal, and my job is to get you folk really excited about it. Is this going to happen? I don't know. I'm an old man. But listen, you are, that it could be possible that as the economy gets so that it's costly to go to school, it's almost prohibitive for anybody to go to school, and the amount of money that costs just to go a semester. It's amazing. But if we had some young fellows, maybe not only here but from other places, that we would require certain things, a lot of reading and a lot of writing what they read, and a lot of work around the place and with the preacher and visitation with people and going out and volunteering work in the church. But also, my friends, to know this, about 5 or 6 hours of real teaching, to set under real teaching somehow along with the services. I don't know, but I thought just I ought to just share that with you. It sounds maybe so strange to some of you, but churches are doing that. And I said, you know, we had a man that was a Greek scholar west of Selins Grove. And he's now gone. But a young man wanted to study Greek. He could go there and spend some time with him, pay some for his room and board maybe. There are some preachers that are they're trained in certain areas. What are you going to do that for? Get on the subject. I thought I'd share that with you. You can learn too. There's a possibility what God is doing. But our subject is this, to know our enemy. And I said that we ought to learn a little bit about him. Where'd it come from? I want to know where he comes from. What's his origin? His origin. Well, we read in Zechariah, and I'm not going there. I'm just going to give you a broad outlook. You sit back and listen. I've looked this up. I will perhaps in the future, I don't know. In that 14th chapter, it tells us, and also in Ezekiel, that he was the number one that God created in heaven. What? Number one in heaven. God created him. Number one? Yep. And he became so enamored with his beauty and his abilities that he thought he could be like God, or it says in Zechariah 14. I will be like the Most High. I'm the best there is around. A high angelic creation. And because of his rebellion against the Lord, he was kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels that followed him. Now, last time we met together, I talked about demon possessions. People can be demon possessed. Yeah. We have in our country a little more sophisticated kind of possession, not the kind you'd find in maybe Africa or South America. But demon possession is so. And these third of the angels that went with him and kicked out of heaven there, the spirits are now what we refer to as demons. Fallen angels, demons. And so we have live when they're around, and there's, as we read in Ephesians, you need to know that when we have problems and certain individuals that are involved, you say, you know, he did me wrong. She talked about me this. And say, well, the scripture says this. Be careful now. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You gotta kill that guy. No, you got to look beyond. There's an invisible powers. They are principalities, powers, demons, and so forth. They are against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's where they are. By the way, I'm reading for the 6th chapter and verse 12, in case you want to know where I read that. And so he does exist. And I tried to show you how he came about. And he exists now. He's very alive. But I want to tell you something. If you don't get from this morning of all these hymns how that a Christian can be victorious and that there's power over him, you didn't get anything this morning, because these hymns are probably even greater than my introduction this morning. That the Christian has all the resources and powers that God has given to him against this enemy of ours and all of his cohorts, the demons. So don't feel like, oh, there's no use in me even thinking about it. I lost already. No, you didn't. Not if you're united with Christ and you know the Lord. And so he's the chief of the fallen spirits. That's the truth of the Bible. God says so. The chief of the fallen spirits. And they're invisible for the most part. They can, of course, indwell bodies and animals, like he did those pigs. We just studied about together. If you want that message, it's on tape, CDs. But, and so I want to tell you something. There is such a thing as a personal devil. And he has personality. And I almost would say this, that you'd say, well, I'm going to throw the towel in. I mean, how in the world we're just little pumpkins, so to speak. How in the world are we going to deal with a person who's been around for thousands of years and he knows the ins and outs, but he doesn't get into, he doesn't know what your thoughts are? That's beautiful. I can pray to my God. He doesn't know it. He's not omnipresent. But you know, he does. He is, spiritually, he has his cohorts, the demons. And if he can't be everywhere, he's just one spirit. He can't be everywhere, so he has the demons do the work. Sends them out. You say, that sounds a little bit fantastic. Well, believe what you want to. That's the Word of God. So I want us to take a look at a couple of verses. Give you 1,000 verses. You say, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. But I'm going to give you some verses. Let's go to the last book of the Bible and the 12th chapter of Revelation. Why? Because this is one of the things that he'll do to you. He likes to do it. As my brother said, you fire away, they're going to fire back. And the closer, the longer, the older you are in maturity and growth in Jesus Christ, the more they'll shoot at you. If I were in an army and I saw all those colonels out there, I would shoot them first. Well, you brag up preachers? No. Preachers ought to be able to understand some of these things as well as you people ought to understand. Why are you going to Revelation 12 for? I'd like us to look at that 10th verse, where it's important because he exists and he does things like in Revelation 12 and verse 10. What is that? John says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Amen. What's next? For the accuser. Uh-oh. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the power of the blood. Look at the victory. If you get despondent this morning and say, woe is me, there's nothing I... No, I don't want you to leave here as dejected and saying, I might as well quit. Look at the power that is available. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. But you see what he is referred to in the last part of verse 10? An accuser. Accuser of the brethren. Now, slander is something, isn't it? Hey, did you know brother so-and-so? He did this. And he really likes to gossip, to have us to gossip. He whispers in our ears, go ahead and say it. And so we say, you know what that preacher did? You know what that elder did? You know what that deacon did? You know what that Sunday school teacher did? I say, well, cuff him up. He's guilty as soon as you see the cuffs on. But it's nice to have a court that will just won't take a person's word for it. We have to have some proof. You know, as much as there's all kinds of things to complain about, it's still kind of nice that there is the possibility that in a court you get trialed right. Now, I know they make mistakes. They're only men. But at least to have some witnesses. Did you read in the newspaper about they had down here in Muncie, the judges came down to Muncie and the lawyers, and they had a pageant down there. Well, they meet together, I guess. I don't know all this. But they meet together so, and they had a little pageant down here at the restaurant. And it had to do with Salem, the witch court in the Puritan days. So what's the story? Well, it was kind of lighthearted and so forth, naturally. But it also showed the need for a justice. The man who was, I guess he was from Muncie years ago. I don't know. I didn't read it carefully. But anyway, he was tried at Salem, Massachusetts, and they hung him. Didn't have a proper court for him. Just take him out, hang him up. I thought that's strange. Maybe you know more about it than I do. I don't read the paper that religiously. And so he's a slanderer. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's also referred to as the adversary. He's referred to as Beelzebub and Belial. And it says in the Bible he's the deceiver of the whole world. He's referred to as, I'm telling you, his names. So when you read the Bible, you can say, well, I heard somebody say, he's called the great dragon. The Bible refers to him as the God of lies, the God of this world. Well, we better turn to a couple of verses. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hope that's the right verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What about it? What it tells us in the fourth verse. It tells about the God. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the lost people, and even your own family and loved ones, neighbors. What has he done? This God of this world, that's not our God, our blessed God. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. What has he done? What has he done? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. He blinds people spiritually. You say, I don't understand that. It's spiritual. I don't know, friends. He's the God of this world and has a job. I don't see that. What? I don't see that. Don't you see that? No, I don't see that. I don't know what you're hollering about. Well, the enemy will blind eyes so that you don't see it. You can talk to your blue in the face and have all your logic up and stacked up and point one, two, and three and do a good job on it. See, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, it could be that the enemy has blinded them. And I'm giving you the names now, friends. I'm trying to give you some names. He's the God of this world. And it says he's also a murderer. I'll get to that perhaps very shortly. A murderer. He's called the old serpent. Yeah. He's called the prince of the powers of the air. Now, I don't know a whole lot about that, but I think scientifically that could be proven. I mean, how do you get your TV? How do you get your radio? How do you get all these? Well, it's by airwaves. Don't you know a little bit about it? Yeah, the very little. But and he seemed to have control of it. I'm amazed. I'm all political. I'm not a politician, but I'm just amazed how much media has. And our present president said, he said, we're in charge of the media. And that'll be documented. Challenge me. Say, document it. Where does it say that he's in charge of the media? ABC, CBS, no. It's if you've been doing any reading the paper or the internet, you know that they're saying this. And so what? I'm simply saying that the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. That's what I'm trying to say. And it says that he's a tempter. Well, I knew that. And it says he's very powerful and he's clever. Now let's get to that verse about that he's a murderer. Why? Well, I want to go to John's Gospel, chapter 8. What do you want to go? Go to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and look at verse 44. We're talking about his names, and people, they get nicknamed because they're like them, they're themselves. And so he has the Lord Jesus here. This is in, as we'd say in the red, the words of the Lord Jesus. And they were getting on him. And in verse 43 of the 8th chapter of John, he said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And he says to them, boy, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And he said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Hey, that's pretty blunt. But thank you, Lord. Sometimes we get accused of being too plain. That's pretty plain. Them fighting words. But that's what the Lord Jesus said. God in the flesh. A murderer. A liar. Now, just in case you say, I think we're going to lose this. Might as well quit. We're going to lose this battle. Christians, we've got to go home with our tails dragging or whatever. Our head down. No, 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 no. You haven't got that yet. No, don't you dare submit to that. Don't let him speak to your heart and say it's all over. It's a worthless test. No use even coming to church. No, 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 no. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3. You say, you're really taking us around this morning. No, just a few verses. I'm not going to have much more. 1 Timothy, I'd like to do it, though. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And you say, well, what's there? It tells us that, it says here that he has fallen under God's condemnation. Yep. Well, and look at verse 6. It says, be careful, you know. When it comes to leadership in a church, don't just put your hands on a young fellow or a person and say, no, don't do that. Then he doesn't be a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The devil's condemned? Yeah. Who's condemned the devil? God. And said, now be careful when you're selecting the pastors and leaders of the church. You know, find somebody that's handsome and maybe has some money in his pocket and is a pleasant person and say, he ought to be your man. No, if he doesn't know the book, at least the main precepts of the Word of God. Sorry, pal, that's not going to work. You see, it's all due to his ambitious pride. There are some people walking around this earth and they think that they ought to be walking on water. That's how proud they are of themselves. Man, am I ever good. Man, have I made myself. Man, have I... Whoa! You know, that's the very thing. Pride goeth before a fall. If you have an attitude like that, brethren, get rid of it. You're going to fall. God will see to it. He treated Satan because he was a proud, walked with a stiff back, and he was handsome. In fact, he's so handsome, he's still referred to as an angel of light. He gives the impression of an angel of light. Now, if I were to see an angel of light, because it's around the visible, but I'd say, what a glorious creature. And so you better get rid of the old comic strip of it. He wears a red pajamas of some sort and has a forked tail and carries a fork and has horn. You better get rid of that. He is handsome. And he performs as an angel of light. You'd be overwhelmed. He's in the pulpit. He's in the pew. And I'll show you how they can sneak in. Should I say snucker? Snucks in. Yeah, that's a good word, snuck in the church. He does. The Bible makes it very clear. And so what I'm saying to you, that he has dominion over this world of the lost. Of what? The world of the unbeliever and the lost. And he has dominion over them. And he says, jump, and they say, how high? Every boy, girl, man, or woman. That's what the Bible teaches. Wow, that's a sad situation. That's why they need Jesus Christ. That's why you need to talk about Jesus. And so it's by the giving forth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God takes that word and saves souls. Have you quit? My neighbor down the road, he and I we got a bear in the area. Mom and I saw him the other night, right where we had that accident, brother. A deer hit us down the road, Ken and I, one night. It ran right into us. We didn't run into the deer. The deer ran into us. Dan can tell you about that, too. We see this big bear down the road. And he has, his neighbor has that first place in with all the Halloween things. I really didn't get to that. I'm telling you something, I still believe one-on-one. And I really prayerfully, I'm concerned for him. He's got a beautiful dog. Spent like, how much money for that dog's operation? $5,000. At Cornell University, they have a place where they can take animals, horses and cattle, and the vets fix them up. He had a hip replacement. The dog, $5,000. And a lovely dog. But you know what? He has one of those things, he can only go so far, and he carries a 9mm. He knows that bear's around. Hey, that does make some sense. Some things don't make sense. Just to show you how things are, there was a farmer, and recently he had sheep and he had some lambs, and you read this in the paper, didn't you? A bear came in, killed a lamb, took it out there someplace, and he went out after and shot it. And he said, they got this bear that killed my lamb. And so the game warden heard it, and he said, it's not bear season, Mr. Farmer. I'm going to have to do something with you, Mr. Farmer. I'm going to have to fine you and take away your privilege of hunting for at least 3 years. He said, but he killed my lamb. He said, if you would have shot him in the barn, he said, that would have been all right, but it's not bear season, and you shot him out in the open. How do you like that, guys? What did you do that for? I want to tell you how things are misconstrued. I'm talking about the enemy, how he can misconstrue things, and I'm trying to show his name and his characteristics is what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to show you that he has such a hatred against God, and Satan hates all goodness. You do something good, helpful, he hates it. Well, I want to go to another scripture verse. I want to go to Ephesians 2. You should be in Ephesians. Go to the second chapter. That wouldn't be hard. Where do you want to go? I want to show you in the second chapter of Ephesians, the first two verses. I want to show you that his dominion over the world of lost and all humanity is compliant to his rules. But look at verse 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath ye quickened, that is made alive, who were dead. Yes, we were in trespasses and in sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Yep, according to the prince of the power of the air. Oh, you didn't know that. No, you didn't know that. But it's true, the Bible's telling us. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the plight of everyone who knows not Jesus Christ, savingly. No. Yes. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. If you die, you'd go to hell. And those of you who are Christians, I'm telling you, I don't care how you were raised, there was this aspect in the time past you walked according to the course of this world. See, well, I was a good girl. I was a good boy. Yeah, thank God. You were Christianized enough to do the what thing, but you know your thoughts, don't you, dear friend? And some of your actions that mom and dad didn't know about. And what about it? So what? That was according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what? And that's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience that are unsaved. You think we need to study this? Or should we just talk about some pleasant things? And well, this is a good word for us. You don't just have to have pleasant entertainment. I want to show you that's a trick of the devil just to have you come and be entertained. It is. And I can prove it. You know, he's the one that seduced Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were in perfect condition. So don't think that it's a little matter that I'm not going to lose. No, don't worry about it. Now, I said to you that you ought to be cognizant of something. You ought to be, if you listen to Job, that he that is Satan can, he can bring about a physical and economical affliction. Well, that was way back. No. You got to get your head straight and your heart right. Don't say way back there. This is what he's in the practice of doing. He still does it. You say, well, you ought to probably have some scripture. Well, I'll go to 2 Corinthians. Because there's some people would argue, say, oh, no, don't believe that. And I don't believe that. You don't believe what? That he is an instrument in bringing out physical and financial afflictions. Every one of them didn't say that. Don't accuse me of saying it for everything. I got a slight headache this morning. Is it the devil problem? Maybe not. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. What do you want to show? I want to show you what it says here. And Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," and he had them, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Really? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What did you get out of that? Well, it sounds to me like Paul, in all of his greatness and his inspiration by the Spirit of God, that he received an infirmity. Well, what about it? It was a messenger of Satan that did it. Well, God certainly can take care of that. But you know, sometimes, if we know ourselves, say, I want to know about Satan, but do you know yourself? Socrates, you said you should know yourself. A lot of Christian people don't know themselves. And especially if they've been done quite well, thank you, done very well as far as I've got good health and so forth. They say, I've got good health and I got comforts in this life. And it gets the impression that you're somebody. You really did a good job. Yes, sir, you did a fine job. And Satan says, let me have him a little bit. God says, no, he probably does need it. You don't think God and Satan talk like that? Read Job. But I want to tell you something, dear Christian, if you get in a feel already, an inferiority complex, around you there is a guard around you. It's so glorious. Thank God for it. He can only go as much as the Lord allows him. Because if you're cocky and you're proud and you're a hot shot, then he may let Satan buffet you. All things work together for good. Romans 8:28, doesn't it say that? To be for your good and my good. I don't want it, Lord. Lord, take it away. He said, just let that go. God, I don't understand your ways. See, if you think you know all about God from your Sunday school classes, I got news for you. We don't know all about God. It is wonderful that this morning we're here sitting, and I know you have some pains, but isn't it wonderful here we are? It's rather nice, and nice day and so forth. And God can give us periods of blessedness. So wonderful. Just so wonderful, Lord. Wish I had it all the time like that. He said, listen, you'll have it. When I call you home, you'll have a blessedness that you won't believe. It'll be so glorious. But you're here now, and you're my servant, and I can do what I want to do with you, and I want to use you. And some of these things come down the pike. You can talk to the Lord about it, and you should. Because he said, I will heal. He wants to hear us pray. That's why he said, call for the elders. Call them in. Anoint them. Anoint us with oil. Pray for us. I said, will you do that? Let me tell you, a lady that did that. And today I understand she's rejoicing. What do you mean she's rejoicing? Well, she had this affliction and it was really bothering her. And I can't give you the details of it, but she called for prayer, was anointed with oil, and things are going just fine. Don't you minimize James 5 in all your sophistication and all your smartness that you think about health and wealth. You better listen to the Word of God. It's God who gives you the wealth, the Bible says. It's God who gives you health. And so, may I say it again, it can be that the devil will be an instrument in bringing upon a physical affliction and a financial affliction also. If he's only smart, he wouldn't be in a jam like that. He ought to get smart. Hey, careful how you talk. Careful how you talk. God hears our talking and also knows our thoughts. I said to you, he presents himself the way of the devil as an angel of light. And I want to give some thoughts about that. And he can hinder, and he does. He hinders the work of God's servants. And if you look at that verse 12 again of Ephesians 6, you'll see what I'm trying to get at. He can use, you say, well, I don't understand that. Why would he do that? Why would he say such a thing? It says, listen, you go beyond that person, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now let's have some thoughts. Well, I think we ought to realize there's a teaching today. It says, you know, the thing about churches, they ought to get together. This idea, here's a church, there's a church, everywhere a church. We ought to all get together. The more we get together, the happier we'll be. That's taught. You don't have to sit there and say, I don't believe that. It's taught, ecumenicalism, it's taught. Well, what does that have to do with Satan? Well, I want to tell you, if you're anywhere awake and you read anything this past week, I will tell you what I've read. I read that the Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians and the Methodists, they've signed agreement, and the Lutherans also are in this whole thing, and hey, they're going to be buddy buddies. Woo-hoo! Now we're going to have a wonderful time. Oh, they're so numb spiritually. I'm sorry. That's one of the things that the devil wants to do, is just mix us up. And because you say, well, listen, it's doctrine that brings real unity. It's not we all get together, hug each other. You say, are you against that? Yeah, I'm against it. It's against the Word of God. It says, be separated. Come out from amongst them. Be separate, said the Lord. And because of me, there will be divisions. See, I don't understand it. I told you to understand God. And so if you have to have unity by just forgetting all the doctrine of the Word of God, what do you have? Man, I talk about something that's nutritional. That certainly isn't. Listen, if we agree on the essentials, there's where real unity comes. Some of you may be shocked, but I get around fellas that we don't agree on some of the areas like baptism and so forth, but we have a good time together. We probably went in church. Probably we'd say, there now goes Robinson. Now he's going to say baptism. There he goes again. But anyway, in Christ, there is a unity. It's wonderful. It is. And I believe that we need to wake up to certain things. We need to stand. In this chapter about the armor of God, it says stand, stand, stand. After everything is done, stand. You know what that means? It's stand in Christ, not in your strength. Stand in Jesus Christ. I don't know. I know this, that all this enemy, he told Pharaoh, kill all those male babies. Moses was spared. Old Pharaoh was used of the devil. That was the thing of the devil. there was the babies in Bethlehem. Kill all the babies so he'd take care of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. There are those who said, well, you know old Hitler? Yep, I know about old Hitler and Stalin and some of these up-to-date guys. He said, you know behind him? Yeah, the devil. Yeah. All this persecution you and I don't know much about and don't care to know much about it because in the rest of the world, in China and so forth, I had good news from China. They're being persecuted like you wouldn't believe. But it said here, the underground church, the house churches are so many they can't even figure out how many there are. Praise God. When God's people are put under pressure, then they begin to work. How about those Israelites when they were all that slavery? How many kids did they have? They had a lot of children. I want to tell you something. If you've been suckered into the idea that God's people shouldn't have children, you haven't read your Bible. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full. Go ahead, use your protections. You're going to have to face God too. You mean we should have 12, 15 kids? And I didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. I just simply say, the Muslims there are taking over. In fact, they're even saying, and this may sound wild, but I read this, that in 5 and 7 years, the Muslims will be taking over the United States. No. You're reading the wrong stuff. Hope I am. Two of the head security men for our great United States, under police and all this business of people, terrorists and so forth, our administration appointed two devout Muslims to be in charge of the police and the terrorists in the United States of America. Are you doing any reading? Can you give me their names? Not here, but I can get it for you. I don't believe that. You believe what you want to believe. The enemy is very much alive. And I love my country too, friend. And I often say to those boys that in World War II, I fought as hard as they did. No, you didn't get shot. No, I didn't get shot, but I was so patriotic, I worked hard at it. That was my religion, patriotism. Well, I know that he's behind death, and he wants to kill. He wants to kill all of us. But we're protected. We won't die until God says it's a time to die, Robbins. You're protected. You're my son. You may have some afflictions because old age brings about some. Get you ready for heaven so you do some homework. Yep, I understand a little of that, Lord. And I understand this. He wants us. If you are sold out to the Lord Jesus and you want to serve him and you pray that God will use you, you're one that the devil's going to try to get after you. Take heart. You're protected. It's time. But I got a little more time. I want to say this. He loves mixtures, concoctions. And he's has a stealthy way about getting mixtures, religiously speaking. One of the things that he tells about in Acts, he said, they'll join the church. And when they get in the church, they'll sit down there and they become a member and they have a voting power because they have church membership, and they'll bring about any kind of compromise that they possibly can, and so they can weaken the church. Where did they come from? Satan inspired him to do it. And so he whispers in the church, whispers. I had a girl in the store yesterday. She was telling the clerk. She said, you know, I have a little invisible devil on this shoulder, she said, a little invisible devil. No, she said left shoulder. You know what? And they laughed. But you can laugh what you want to. The enemy is invisible. And he once said, you little invisible devil, he whispers into ears. Yes, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yep. Don't become a fanatic. That preacher would have you doing all kinds of things religiously. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time while you're here. And don't be worried about gossiping. Go ahead and gossip. And I must tell you this. Remember the little party game? And we did this. Here's maybe 12 people. And you start here and you say, say a word. Now you pass it all the way around. It comes all the way around. You already know the conclusion, don't you? It sometimes is completely different than what it started out to be. And gossiping does that. And he whispers in our ears, go ahead, talk about it. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Go ahead, sleep away the Lord's day. Don't go to church. You've been after a hardworking man. Preacher, got to say something to you before we close here. This people, they need some entertaining. Some good entertaining. Well, what do you mean? Come on. Let's have some contemporary music. Come on. Let's have less of that old Bible that you keep hammering at us. Less Bible, more entertaining. Let's have some fun. Some feelings. One of you elders, wake up. And so it comes down to the place that there's very little difference between folk of the church and folk of the world. What's the difference? Have the same goals? Have the same lifestyle? We all look alike, don't we? Yes, sir. Have same values? Yep, sir. The way we spend our time and our money? Yep, sir. But the Bible says that we're to be separate. You mean I should drive a horse? Didn't say that. That's man. I ought to wear black all the time. It didn't say that in the Bible. Doesn't say that. But it says we're to be separate. I don't know, brother. I just know this. We need to wake up and get alive about some things and see how it is. About the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we stop being victims and victorious. Got to have this hymn yet, Bob. Got to have a hymn yet. If I kept you 5 minutes more, you had an hour's rest more last night. So if 5 minutes more or so, whatever, I want us to go this last hymn. And you have it already? It's 478. It's a glorious hymn. Just see if you can get a blessing out of it. 478. Wonderful. Stand up, my soul, shake off thy fears, and gird the gospel armor on. March to the gates, endless joy, where thy great captain Savior's gone. Hell and thy sins resist the course, but hell and sin are vanished for thy Jesus into the cross and sung the triumph when he rose. Then let my soul march boldly on, press forward to the heavenly gate, there to peace and joy eternal reign. And glittering rose for conquerors. Let's stand as we sing the last and have the benediction. There shall I wear a starry crown and triumph in almighty grace, for all the armies of the skies join in my glorious leader's praise.
If God's opened your eyes this morning, I do want to encourage you. And you turn to the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord and our Lord Jesus and his work at the cross for your sins and for your help. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.